Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
This is the final Georgia Wrestling Now of 2013, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Sounds like it was a big weekend in wrestling throughout Georgia, especially at Anarchy, where AJ Styles and Gunner made their returns, as well as Peach State Wrestling Alliance, where Rick Michaels lost the title to Simon Sermon, who then lost the title to the surprising debut of Jeter at Peach State. Johnny Danger will be joining us later, but right now, this is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com and Josh Wheeler. How are you tonight, Josh?
I'm doing good. Just pour the doers on the rocks, taking a little sip, taking the edge off, and ready to do a fantastic final show of 2013. And I want to say kudos to Anarchy Wrestling. The report sounds phenomenal. I hope they release that video somewhere in the near future so I can take a look at it, because I really want to see the Bobby Moore and Billy Buckeye quit match that Larry Goodman so eloquently said was probably the match of the year. And I also would like to see the Seven versus Judas match as well. I'm always a huge fan of Michael Judas, so looking forward to seeing those two matches.
Yeah, me too. I unfortunately wasn't able to make it to any live wrestling this weekend, but I did read Larry Goodman's report at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, which you can also read there. Then I also saw results from Peach State and haven't heard about any other shows over the weekend, but it sounds like those two were great shows. I heard the Matt Stryker seminar went very well also, and I think Johnny Danger is now on the line with us. Is that you, Johnny?
It is me. I apologize for my lateness, guys. I actually just got off of a very unpleasant phone call.
Uh-oh.
Yeah? You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, actually, I need to. I've been ordered in no uncertain terms to share with you guys what went down at Peach State Wrestling over the weekend.
Okay.
As you alluded to, or you may not have alluded to, sorry, I'm kind of nervous here. there's a new champion down at Peach State. We had the big rematch between Rick Michaels and Simon Sermon, a bloody affair as usual between those two guys, and Simon walked out with a title. Actually, he didn't walk out with a title. He beat Rick. And the lights went down. DeWitt Dawson appeared and introduced a new member of the Empire, a guy named Jeter. And Jeter disposed of Simon Sermon in less than 2 minutes with a big power slam. Jeter is the new Peach State champion. And I think we got to declare this the year of Jeter. He's the Peach State champion. He held the Anarchy Championship. He held one half of the PWR Tag Team Championships. I believe he was a UIW champion. And I was pretty much ordered to make that announcement. And I'm not going to say no when somebody like Jeter's involved.
Right. Well, that's the reason I believe last time I checked, he was still leading the fan poll for most improved at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Of course, we'll be announcing all the winners next week. But, yeah, he has had quite a year. I think you forgot to mention that he and Brian Blaze, I believe, won the tag team season trophy once again at PCW.
Thank you for correcting me. I apologize for not mentioning that. That was a very impressive victory and a very impressive match.
Absolutely. Well, we often hear from Jeter on this show, so Jeter, if you're listening, feel free to call in. But otherwise, we have Jimmy the Kid calling in just a few minutes. He's going to be part of Mr. Hughes' WWA 4 show. I believe it's called Past, Present, Future Super Show on January 2nd. And he'll also be in the main event at UIW a couple days later, teaming with Bull Buchanan, which is the person who defeated Jeter for the UIW championship. And they're taking on the SoFine Mafia. Then we're going to talk to Caprice Coleman, who, of course, spent many days in his early career in NWA Wildside and NWA Anarchy. course, now just known as Anarchy Wrestling. But now he's a big star in Ring of Honor, and he'll be part of that show in Nashville on the 4th, where AJ Styles will also make his return to Ring of Honor, and Rowdy Roddy Piper's supposed to be there. Looks like a big show. Then we've got Shinron the Spirit Dragon and AR Fox calling in later in the show, so we're definitely going to go over our normal hour-long episode, but they're going to be part of that WWA 4 show as well, and there are two guys that don't wrestle in Georgia a lot, so when they asked if they could call in, I told them we'd love to have them. So, and we've never talked to Shinron before, or Caprice Coleman, or Jimmy the Kid, for that matter, so pretty big show to end 2013. And I guess we'll just, what else is there to talk about before we hear from Jimmy the Kid?
I just want to say that I want to say kudos to Dana White. And again, I know we don't usually talk about, you know, the outside world, usually to Georgia, but I want to say thank you, Dana White, for showing that professional wrestling booking still works. The way
I saw your
he
post
booked
about this.
Those two main events were phenomenal. The build-up, 2 years build for Rousey versus Tate, the finish where she refused to shake hands with her defeated opponent, the crowd booing her, and she cuts a heel promo. Ladies and gentlemen, pro wrestling's alive and well. It's just called Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Well, maybe WWE and other promotions can take note there. And
I wish somebody would. Jesus Christ. I mean, a company that's not wrestling does wrestling better than wrestling. Go figure. But also, speaking of wrestling, I know you guys are big fans of mat-based wrestling. Check out William Regal, Antonio Cesaro on this week's NXT. What a matchup. That's all I got to say.
I did see a little bit of that match on YouTube the other day.
Wow.
Well, I mean, what would you expect with those two guys?
It's Regal and Cesaro, you're right.
Yeah. Well, speaking of WWE, I did watch a DVR'd SmackDown, and it was surprisingly one of the better WWE shows I've seen in a while. I guess the highlight, for me at least, was each member of the Shield took on individually CM Punk. CM Punk and Dean Ambrose had a singles match, Mark Henry and Roman Reigns, and then John Cena and Seth Rollins, which was an amazing match, and I actually thought Seth Rollins might win the match, but of course he didn't, but it was still a great match, and hopefully that means he'll get some sort of push the way Roman Reigns has as of late. But
I'm a huge fan of Roman Reigns. So.
What's that?
I'm a huge fan of Roman Reigns, so I will probably end up checking that one out on Hulu as well. So.
Yeah, well, I like him a lot too, but I was actually at the Ring of Honor show in Charlotte. It was Tyler Black's last or second to last Ring of Honor show before he went to WWE. And people were the Ring of Honor fans were obviously giving him a hard time for quote unquote selling out or whatever. But it was funny because his response to that was he kept doing the John Cena, "You can't see me" hand gesture. So it was cool to finally see him and John Cena one-on-one.
That is pretty funny. Was that the show where he faced Davey?
Yes, it was, actually. Yeah, I think they had one more match the next night, and then that was his last Ring of Honor match.
Speaking of Davey, he will be, it looks like he's going to be in Ybor City for Evolve, and I think he might be doing the Orlando shows as well, the Orlando Jacksonville show as well here in my state of Florida in the next few weeks before he is officially signing with one of the two big companies. So it'll be good to see him one more time on an indie show if he's actually the one in Ybor. So. And it's looking like he's going to be facing AR Fox.
Oh. Well, then we'll have something to talk to AR Fox about later tonight. So,
did anybody receive any wrestling-related gifts over the holidays?
I got cash.
Not bad.
I don't think I did, now that I think about it. I bought myself some wrestling-related gifts, though.
What'd you buy yourself?
I found some Rumblers figures, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Antonio Cesaro packs for, they were on clearance at Target.
Nice. I was fortunate enough to receive the Mick Foley latest Blu-ray, the For All Mankind, that I've heard lots of good things about, so I'm looking forward to watching that one.
Yeah, I watched that one on Netflix. I enjoyed it, but if you know the Foley story, there's nothing new. So, the Blu-ray might have some of the matches, because on Netflix, it's just a documentary, so I didn't get to see some of the better matches. What is your guys' favorite Foley match of all time?
My favorite Foley match of all time. Put me on the spot here. I think I'm actually going to go with, there's two. First is Cactus and Terry Funk against the New Age Outlaws at WrestleMania 14, I want to say.
Yep.
Just because it was cool to see those two guys together at a WrestleMania. And then, of course, his first title win on Raw, when Tony Schiavone gave away the results, just the pop when Mankind won the title. It was just so gratifying, just goosebumps to this day, you know?
I have to go with, I think my favorite Foley match of all time is the one where him and Vader on Saturday night, and Vader is just like breaking his face.
Ah, yes.
And I always loved, there was a match he had in Smoky Mountain versus Chris Candido that I was a huge fan of. I can't remember the exact show, but I think it was the one where Boo Bradley first appeared. I always enjoyed that one too. I used to, and that's the thing, growing up, I loved Cactus Jack when he was in WCW, and he was teaming up with all the jabroni tag partners and then beating him out of the match. Great way to build a new guy.
Yeah. My favorite match or angle he was involved with was when he was in WCW, and he and Abdullah the Butcher were both going after Sting, but they also were going after each other, and there was, I forget, I can never find it on YouTube or anything, but I think Sting got this giant Christmas present or birthday present or something, and Abdullah the Butcher popped out of it.
Yeah.
And then there was some kind of roulette sort of tag team thing where people were randomly paired, and it ended up being like Sting and Abdullah versus Cactus Jack and someone else or some sort of combination of those people, and of course it ended up, Sting and his partner obviously didn't work well as a team, and I thought that whole thing was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was Starrcade 91, I believe. That was good stuff right there.
Yeah. Definitely early 90s.
People always frown at early WCW, that early 90s WCW stuff, because Jim Herd was running it, but I always look at it like some of the matches they had and some of the guys they were building. That was around the time Pillman and Liger were really doing their stuff. Some of my favorite moments. Dynamic Dudes and the Midnights were having some great matches. I don't know if you guys remember the Young Pistols.
Yeah.
Those guys were phenomenal. I miss tag team wrestling.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do.
Real good tag team wrestling can be some of the best stuff in the world.
Agreed.
You guys know much about Jimmy the Kid, our first guest?
I know bits and pieces of him. I know he's been a pretty decent sized star out in the West Georgia area for years. I think he went to WWE 4 training school.
Yeah.
I've worked a show or two with him, so he's one of those guys that he has a lot of potential.
Right. Well, he won the Pro Wrestling Live Heavyweight Championship in the one and probably only Pro Wrestling Live event at Wild Bill's a few months back. So I guess he...
only Pro Wrestling Live.
Well, I haven't heard of another one happening.
Oh, I don't think you will. You are correct on that one. That's why I was kind of laughing about it. Speaking of which, where are Progression Pro? Have they finally said they're done, or are they just taking the time off? What's going on with Progression Pro?
Well, Johnny Danger might know more than I do because he actually competed there.
Well, I actually never competed, but I did do commentary and I hosted a couple events. I have not heard an official announcement. If they don't run again, it'll be unfortunate, but understandable.
They just did not get a crowd. I mean, talent was there, they were doing some interesting things on the internet, but they just could not get the crowd.
Yeah, the talent was phenomenal. Unfortunately, like you said, just the crowd wasn't there. I wish everyone involved the best in the future, though. I'd love to see them again.
Well, most of those guys are doing well for themselves elsewhere, but it definitely had potential, and I'm not really sure why it wasn't able to get more of a following.
They were running at the bar that Montrose was working at too, correct?
Mostly,
They did three shows there, and then their last show was at the one that they did at the same venue as ECWE.
Yeah, they use these. So is the bar still doing wrestling, or the bar just killed wrestling altogether? What happened with that whole thing?
MCW still runs there.
Okay.
But that's the only wrestling show there.
Because, man, I love the idea of a bar with wrestling in Georgia. It makes so much sense. I wish, you know, other bars would do it. I wish bigger bars would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it's a great concept. Some of my most fun matches from this past year were bar matches.
Well, you can do more, and you can have an older crowd. And that I think, I don't want to say that kids stifle creativity, but I think people that book for kids forget that someone has to bring the kids.
Right.
Yeah, kids, and my pet peeve is just the snotty wrestling fan that just does not seem to be there to be entertained, and you don't get that with the bar crowd.
Right. They exactly. There you go. That's like here in Tampa, you know, down at Ybor, we get the Orpheum, and they get the Evolve, the FIP show, and the Shine shows. The crowd's actually just more entertaining than the fans are sometimes.
Right.
You know, they're really getting into the shows. You got the guy who's like, man, I used to watch wrestling all the time, but, you know, after his third or fourth beer, he's all of a sudden, like, marking out for every little thing they're doing. So that's always – and that's the thing. I'm a people watcher, so I go to watch wrestling, but at the same time, you know, I enjoy seeing the people really getting into the wrestling, and that's something that I think you lose when you go to the family shows, because – the parents are trying to make sure the kids are on their best behavior, and they're not really letting the kids do too much. And I don't know. I guess working at Johnny G's for almost a year really soured me on kids at the wrestling shows altogether. So,
but at the same time, some of my greatest moments have been, you know, at kids shows, and you really connect with a kid. I mean, I'm not necessarily proud of it, but when I was fired from PCW a few weeks ago, there were kids crying coming up to hug me, and that's a hell of a feeling.
I can see that.
Just takes you back to when you're, you know, 5 years old doing the Hulk Hogan pose in the mirror. At least I was.
Yeah, I was doing the Ric Flair strut in the mirror, so I know what you're talking about.
Hey, no shame there.
Well, we've got a caller. I see a caller, but he's not indicating that he wants to come on the line. But I think it might be Jimmy the Kid, so I'm just going to check and see. Hey, is this Jimmy the Kid? 483? No? Okay. Well, I'm not sure what happened to Jimmy the Kid, but at least we've got a listener.
Yay!
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yes, it is.
Okay, now maybe that is him.
No, this is not Jimmy the Kid.
Who is this?
The Wrestling Alliance champion, Jeter.
Welcome to the show, Jeter. I'm guessing you're doing okay. You had a great weekend, it sounds like.
I had a damn great weekend.
So I guess, you know, obviously your arrival in Peach State was a shock to a lot of people for many reasons. To me, it was one of the reasons was because you normally, or not long ago, you were the Anarchy champion. Anarchy was running the same night, of course, and you also were recently UIW champion, which is sort of Peach State's rival promotion. So what's your status with those companies? Are you still working for those companies as well?
Yes, I am. I am still at Anarchy. I am. As of this moment, I'm no longer with UIW. I wish those guys the best. And for what I understand, Peach State ran on the opposite nights of Anarchy.
Usually, so, yeah, but this past weekend, I guess, was just a coincidence.
Jonathan, don't argue with the guy, please.
I'm not. I'm just trying to clarify.
But yes, to answer your question, yes, I am still with Anarchy Championship Anarchy Wrestling. UIW, no. I wish those guys the best. And I'm looking forward to wreaking havoc all over Peach State.
Well, you got off to a good start. If you want to reveal too much, but what do you have in store for Peach State moving forward?
To simply put it, to do what I did in 2013, but turn it up a notch. Show everybody why I am the best big man moving in the Georgia scene at this particular moment, regardless of what other guys from Alabama say.
So you won the UIW championship, you won the Anarchy championship, now you're the Peach State championship. Are you looking at I kind of like looking at this like the Super J crown when Ultimo Dragon won all the light heavyweight titles. Are you looking at only establishing yourself and winning every heavyweight title you can, but do you feel that you're now the ring bearer of heavyweight wrestling, and that's why you're going after all these gold belts?
To be honest with you, I just feel that when it comes to young guys in this sport that are coming up, and you've got a lot of good guys. You got UHA Nation, you got Moose, you got Cody Hall making his bones. I just feel like when it comes to heavyweight wrestling and the younger guys, I'm at the forefront of everybody. No disrespect to anyone. No disrespect to anyone. I just believe I'm at the forefront. As far as the belts go, whether I had belts or I didn't have belts, I would still feel the exact same way. The fact that I have had these belts and have these belts now shows that other people agree with me and what I'm saying and what I do in the ring and how I entertain the people.
Jeter, as someone who has also been an accomplished tag team wrestler, is that something you're still focusing on, or are you more focused on your singles career at this point?
I'm a chameleon. I can go either way. You can put me in the ring by myself, and I can show you why I say I'm the best big man. Or you can put me in the ring with my tag team partner, Brian Blaze, and we'll show you why we feel we are the best tag team in Georgia.
I think Josh was also about to ask something a minute ago.
So you being the heavyweight, do you feel that some of these promotions like the Evolves, the FIPs, the DGUSAs, and even the Ring of Honor to an extent, kind of front upon someone your size because they don't think that you can go like a Corey Hollis or an AJ Styles? But do you feel there's a bias around the smaller guy on the indie circuit?
To be honest with you, I do believe that I believe that a man of my size and stature, honestly, is a dying breed in this sport.
Agreed.
Because I look at it this way. Look at it maybe 15 years ago. The standard for a pro wrestler, if you will, 6'2", 240 and up. Now, if you look at the guys, you've got guys the stature of Bryan Danielson. CM Punk, for that matter. As you mentioned, Corey Hollis, AR Fox, to name local guys, Chip Day. It's just showing the progression of wrestling and or sports entertainment. You also can look at a lot of these guys that wrestle now, they are fans of Parachute or the Japanese style of wrestling. And a lot of their guys are little.
Well, I disagree with that completely. You do have a bigger – you have some guys in Japan that are smaller like Kenta, but Kenta isn't the main draw. Tanahashi is still a bigger guy compared to CM Punk or Daniel Bryan. Prince Devitt, smaller guy, but the chance of Prince Devitt beating a guy like Maccabi, very rarely going to happen. That's why they have the distinct weight class division in Japanese wrestling. We don't have that in American wrestling, so you can get a guy like Chip Day as the heavyweight champion. Chip Day, man-to-man against Jeter, you got to look at it on paper. I mean, how would that match go down if you ever got Chip Day one-on-one?
Actually, I've actually wrestled Chip Day twice one-on-one. It's the same. It's the same whether I'm in the ring with a Chip Day or Corey Hollis. It doesn't matter. I'm gonna go in and do what I do best. That's lay people down, flatten people, hurt people. That's what I'm here for.
Right.
And as far as the comment, when it comes to the draw of Japan, what I said was, is that a lot of little guys take the style that is used in Japan, the hard steel, the stiff strikes,
the submission.
They take it and they bring it here. And if, from what I've seen and heard, people look at it as more exciting versus some people look at it as more exciting versus two guys of my stature going there and just beating the living hell out of each other. Some people. And you have that demographic that prefers to see a guy like myself and a guy I just recently wrestled within the last four months, to be honest with you, Michael Judas. They'd rather see me and Michael Judas go in there and just beat the living hell out of each other.
Right. Speaking of Michael Judas, I'm sure while you were at Peach State, you were keeping up, you know, with what was going on there. Judas and Seven go to a double knockout or whatever. Which one of those two guys you want to face? You want Seven, you want Judas?
From a pure wrestler standpoint, you can
from
put
a
me
money
in
making
both
standpoint,
of them.
I don't care about wrestling. For making money, who can you make more money with?
Make more money.
Who do you think could go in there and sell out the Omni if the Omni was still up and running?
let's put it this way. If you look from a pure money standpoint, the bigger draw is definitely Michael Judas.
Right.
Just from the name and the things that he has done within the sport of wrestling. Do I think we could go in there, the three of us could go in there and turn out the house if we had to? I definitely believe so. And if I had to choose from a pure wrestler standpoint, it would definitely be Judas.
What about at Peach State? Who would you like to face there now that you're champion there?
Let me see. From the guys that I've seen on their active roster, I wouldn't mind another crack at Cyrus Destroyer. I know I'll be seeing Simon Sermon in the upcoming months.
And probably Rick Michaels, too.
Maybe even Ricky. Who knows? I wouldn't mind a match with Kyle Matthews. Now, that's a match that interests me a lot.
That kind of goes back to
hooking up with Fred Yehi again.
Kind of what Josh was just asking you about, guys like that are great technical wrestlers, but maybe half, probably more like a third your size. What's the appeal to you to wrestle guys like that?
You understand when I came into wrestling through the Platinum School of Wrestling, every guy in there was half my size. Doesn't matter whether it was a Stain Marks, whether it was a Jay Fury, whether it was a Vandal, whether it was a Brian Blaze, whether it was
don't say Johnny Danger.
It doesn't matter. Hell, for that fact, even Johnny Danger. It doesn't matter who came through that school. I am today the largest person to come from that school. And I've always had to wrestle guys that were smaller, more technical, to prove whether you put me in with a monster my size or you put me in a guy that's smaller than me, I can still go. And as far as the attraction to the more technical guys, that, to be honest with you, that's just to prove something to myself that I can't go in there and quote unquote straight wrestle and put on a hell of a match and still do what I do in the ring.
And, Jeter, would you care to comment on, I read that you will be competing in the Jason Speed Memorial Six-Man Showcase this year, along with Brian Blaze and Nina Monet. Is that true?
That is definitely true. as well as the Jason Speed Memorial. Jenny, as I've told you many times, pack a lunch. It's going to be a long one.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jeter, we've got another caller, and it's about time for our next guest to call in, too, but we've got two people. I think one of them is a local number, so I'm going to see if it's someone that may want to say something to you. Hey, you're on the line with Jeter on Georgia Wrestling Now. Who is this?
Hey, this is Jimmy the Kid.
Oh, Jimmy the Kid. Well, we were expecting you a little earlier, but...
Oh, my bad.
That's all right.
I thought it was 7:30.
Well, we can talk to you for a bit, but let's wrap things up with Jeter first, and let me see... Actually, yeah, can you call back a little later? Because we've got our other guests.
Yeah, what did I call the other number? What number did I call?
Same number you called right now.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right, appreciate it.
All right, well, let's wrap things up with Jeter. Where are you going to be next, Jeter?
January 18th, I make my way back to my home and original stomping grounds, which will be PCW in Portdale. January 11th, I do make my way back to Anarchy Wrestling. I got UIW coming up, get those dates completely hammered out all the way. I should be going to sometime this year, look for me to pop up in Monroe, Georgia. I'm all over Georgia. As of right now, I'm going to stick with PCW, Peach State, and Anarchy for the moment.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling in, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you in the ring sometime soon.
Yes, we will. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me. Have a good night.
You too. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will be talking to Caprice Coleman from Ring of Honor.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. and Josh Wheeler. I believe we lost Johnny Danger, but we are now being joined by Caprice Coleman, I believe. Is that you, Caprice?
Absolutely. How you doing, brother?
All right. How are you?
Well, outstanding, outstanding.
Great. Well, Ring of Honor is not going to be in Georgia, but it's rare that Ring of Honor makes it anywhere near Georgia. So since you're going to be in Nashville next Saturday, I figured it'd be good to talk to you tonight. So I see you're advertised as being on the bill, but it doesn't say who you're facing. Do you know yet who you're facing?
I have no idea who I'm going against, and I'm actually kind of excited because it's starting out singles career, Cedric and I. So I don't know who I'm facing, but I'm sure I'm going out there to try to steal the show. That's my job.
Do you know if it's a singles or a tag match at all? Or
I don't know. I don't think it'll be a tag match because our last tag match was at, I think, the Pursuit night two. And it made a kind of big deal out of it because we didn't break up as enemies. Cedric and I are still close friends, but we're both going to start our singles career or whatever, and we're both excited about it. I'm excited for him. He's excited for me. A lot of ideas, plans, and all in the mix. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, you, of course, got your start here in Georgia at NWA Wildside and then Anarchy, and now it's just Anarchy Wrestling. But you held several titles there, and that obviously kind of launched your career. What are you – and you were there over the summer, weren't you? You came back for a match, and I forget, was it Mike Posey that you wrestled?
Yeah, Posey, yeah. Mike Posey. I always enjoy going to Anarchy or Wildside. That building has so much historical value to it, and it always means so much to me. I try to go there whenever I can because I have so much respect for the place because I know that if it wasn't for that place, I wouldn't be who I am today. Not only did it help put me on the map, but it helped me find out who I am and what makes me different in the sport than anybody else. There are a lot of athletic guys out there now. There are a lot of black athletic guys out there now. But there's no Caprice Coleman, and I found out what made me different, and I wouldn't have been able to find that out if it wasn't for that building in Cornelia, Georgia.
Speaking of which, and you just kind of hit it on yourself, when you were coming up, it was like you know, Rayman, Corey Chavis, Onyx, Ron Killens. Now you see, like, this entire, I mean, A.R. Fox is a name I could throw out there. There's so many young black men that are becoming pro wrestlers. How do you feel about this? Like, are you excited about this? Do you see this as like something new for the wrestling business to start looking into?
Absolutely, man. I think that the good part is, and I'm going to let you know already, that I'm kind of at work, so if you hear me say something out of the ordinary, just know that I'm at work right now. But absolutely, I enjoy it because, honestly, man, the wrestling sport is it's kind of a white man sport. It's predominantly owned by the white majority, and for the longest time, especially in mainstream, for there to be a black character, they used that black character as the black character, you know.
Right.
And you could have plenty of Caucasian blonde hair, blue eyed guys out there, but they're not. But you put one black guy out there, and he represents the whole black race. I believe wrestling is shifting now to a point to where people are seeing that, you know, there's a black guy that can be fast, there's a black guy that can be strong. There's a black guy that has be as a mouthpiece. There's a black guy who can be intelligent. You know, they're different type of black athlete instead of just the one black guy to be the one black hope. And I believe that shift is a positive shift, that it's showing that we can be more diverse. And it's showing the world as being more diverse in itself instead of saying, hey, we need one black token for the black people to cheer on, you know?
No, I completely agree, and I think it's awesome that you see this, and you see it among the Hispanic community, and you see it all over the world. I mean, America is becoming a very multicultural city, and I think wrestling has always kind of had a hand on what was, it's the rawness of America, and for years it kind of like went away from that, and it was just kind of like, and I don't want to say Vince McMahon's a racist, but I question some of the things he does sometimes. And I do like to see a guy like you and Cedric get your shot in ROH, a guy like Xavier Woods now getting his shot in WWE, Biggie Langston, who I think is going to be a huge star for years to come. I think it's a good time as America to really, like, get around everybody and start, you know, seeing good, positive influences. You know, I grew up with Bad News Brown and Slick, and it was always – they were always grimy characters, and it was always like – you know, Junkyard Dog was a great character, but he was kind of, you know, kind of portrays a stereotype. So it's good to
Absolutely.
Me to see
Absolutely.
A positive thing. And I've always said that I think, you know, not a black Hulk Hogan per se, but, you know, that positive good guy could be the future of the business.
I definitely agree of that because they definitely stick, they have in the past stick black people as the stereotyping. And I can honestly say that when I was in my work at WWE, not that anything was getting ready to happen if I would have did this or whatever, but the first thing they asked me is, you know, can I play a thug? Can I do this? Can I do that? And, of course, that's just not me, you know. And I
right.
was like, well, I would rather do this. I'd rather do that. And that's when I was going in my talks back and forth with them or whatever. Nothing ever happened. But when I went overseas, I turned on the TV, and I see was a Crime Time. You know, and it found somebody to fill the part, which was basically like, you know, the stereotypical views. And I believe that that just puts us in a box, you know. And I believe there are a lot of people that are well-spoken, that are well-educated, that can hold themselves in the ring and on the microphone, fill the show at the same time. And that's what
right.
I understand. I'm not going to step into a stereotypical view for people to look and laugh. I'm not a joke. I'm an athlete. I'm a very good athlete. I'm a very intelligent athlete. And I promise to prove that anywhere that I step.
Now, I know you and Cedric just split up a few weeks back on ROH and all that. Was this like an idea that you guys had, or was this something that you felt, because you're a singles, in my world, you're a singles wrestler. You're one of the greatest
right.
wildside TV teams of all time.
Right.
So I think it's great that you're going to get a chance to really shine on your own at Ring of Honor. So
right.
was this like a mutual, like, did you guys go to you know, Delirious and the office and say, hey, let us do our own thing, or did they come to you and say, you guys want to go singles?
Well, it was mostly Ring of Honor because Cedric and I, Ring of Honor put us together. We both came in as single wrestlers, or with ideas of being single wrestlers, and then they said, hey, you know this guy named Cedric Alexander? And, of course, I knew him because Cedric and I knew each other from the indie scene. We were always very close because I was kind of his mentor anyway. So the story that we have on Ring of Honor is actually a very true story. They just put us together as a tag. You know, we weren't a tag team on the indies before, but he was the guy that he would call me and talk to me about stuff, about the wrestling biz and all. He was trying to find a character for himself. And I took a liking to him very early when I came back from overseas because he was good, you know. And there's a lot of guys that are good out there, but there's some guys that just have it. And Cedric Alexander, he just has it. He has that it factor. And I saw it the first time I saw him work. And I sat him down and we talked for a while. And we became friends ever since. So when they said, hey, we got this great idea for you to tag with this guy named Cedric Alexander, we both just laughed at it because we've been in camp before to where they advised that, and we just kind of, you know, was like, hey, we already there. So when they said talked about splitting us up, it was cool because Cedric is getting a lot of attention there. The attention that he was getting first was kind of because of me, because people kind of knew who I was and didn't know who he was. So at the beginning, it was kind of like, Caprice and Coleman instead of Coleman and Alexander, you know, they was messing it up. But as Cedric kind of got his name stay there and got to be seen more, people started to see what I already saw in Cedric, you know, and it was like, oh, Cedric is the technical, Cedric is this, Cedric is that. And I wasn't surprised, and I'm not surprised, because people were just seeing what I've already seen in him. Cedric, I believe, is a very bright part of the wrestling future world.
And, now, I hate to cut you off. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. And I believe that in him. And then with us being able to split up and all, I believe that people will see how much more I have to offer, because I believe Ring of Honor is a place where athletes are definitely showcased or whatever. But if everybody's an athlete, who stands out? And I believe with me being split into a singles regiment, I would be able to show the reason why I'm an athlete and an intelligent wrestler at the same time.
Speaking of Ring of Honor and Cedric Alexander, you're part of, like, the generational gap. You came in a little bit before the Internet really boomed with the wrestling community. So you had the chance to learn with Rick Michaels. You had a chance to learn from Jesse Bailey and guys like that. How do you feel about the young guys now? Because you're probably the older statesman of the ROH locker room. How do you feel about some of the younger guys in ROH and all the indies doing the crazy stuff that they probably don't have to do?
Well, I've heard most of that because I'm I'm still at work or whatever, but saying is the age difference between me and a lot of the guys on the roster now, is that what we're talking
right.
about? Okay.
Well, and
the
thing is the experience factor and how that factors in, like, because you came in at a different time period when you could work a slower style and still get over, where now guys go in and they'll turn a body slam into a sit-out powerbomb for no reason the first move of the match, How do you feel about that? Like, when you see guys do that kind of stuff?
I believe the wrestling world has just changed, you know, in general. And I believe that a lot of people have tried to adapt to what they feel is more of a hybrid type atmosphere in wrestling. And I believe that onset is because of there was a period of time where hybrids were getting a lot of attention. However, I believe that, you know, because that's what Ring of Honor was pushing at the time, a lot of people felt, okay, that's what wrestling is now. I disagree with that. I believe that wrestling is still a surplus of different type of athletes, strong, fast, intelligent, innovative guys that can go out there and steal the show. So when I see guys go out there and do that, you know, I just know what they – you can tell what type of wrestler – what the wrestler admires by what they do, you know, and I just know that's what type of wrestling they enjoy watching themselves is what they kind of duplicate. I'm not offended by it because, to me, it puts you in a class, you know. And if you want to be one-dimensional, you can stay one-dimensional. I got four dimensions.
Speaking of three dimensions, you're one of the greatest talkers in the history of Cornelia, Georgia. I put you with Murder One, with Jeff G. Bailey, with Dan Wilson. You can talk in the microphone. Will that get to start coming out January 4th in Nashville, Tennessee, when you begin your Ring of Honor solo career?
I hope so, because I've been signed for 2 years at Ring of Honor, and they intentionally never put me on a microphone in the ring.
And that's worse.
They put me on a microphone behind camera doing promos and stuff, but never like in the ring. And they said it was intentional because it was kind of holding me, and it felt like I was kind of in a cage for a while. The last show that we had, the Pursuit Night 2, when Cedric and I broke up, they gave me the microphone in the ring for like the first real time, and the crowd was really into it. And by that time, I believe now, with this year, I'm definitely going to be getting a lot more microphone time. And I'm also in talks to be doing a little bit with the commentating booth as well.
Well, that's good, because one of my biggest things, and this kind of goes into the next question, is Ring of Honor has got very stagnant. And I felt part of that was they don't have the I'm not saying you need outlandish characters, but I think that you need guys that can talk. Kevin Steen can talk. Jay Briscoe can talk. Outside of that, Ring of Honor doesn't really have a lot of microphone excellence and a lot of characters. And I think that's that's where they got stagnant. Chris Hero's coming in. AJ Styles is coming in. Is 2014 the way that Ring of Honor can reinvent itself, so to speak, and go back to what it was in 05 and 06 when it was the talk of the wrestling world?
I believe so, but I also believe in the change that it's making. Ring of Honor is making some big changes. They're bringing back some big guys. This year is definitely going to be a positive year for Ring of Honor. So to say to go back into the days of the boat, you have to realize that we saw stars back then, but they were stars because Ring of Honor made them stars. You know, the Christopher Daniels, the Samoa Joes, the AJ Styles, and all that are the same stars that came in, like the American, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards and all. The same type stars, it was a different time. You grew and liked those stars and loved those stars to the point to where they became big to you when they got on the big screen. It's the same way that Ring of Honor is building these guys up now, and then when they hit the big screen, you'd be like, hey, I know that guy and I like that guy. The mere fact that most of the guys that you're putting in the ring now are athletes is because that's what Ring of Honor has kind of always been, except for they had guys that were athletes and talkers at the same time. They have guys now that if I had to put it in a category, it would say that WWE is 75% entertainment, 25% wrestling. TNA, 50% wrestling, 50% entertainment. Ring of Honor, 75% wrestling, 25% entertainment. I believe that the gap for the entertainment side will spread out for Ring of Honor, but I believe wrestling is our strong point. However, I believe that we will always be compared to WWE, the entertainment side, because that's what the majority of people watch. So I believe that most of the people that watch Ring of Honor, they also watch WWE. So because of that, we will always be compared to a bigger brand.
Right.
You know who also is developing as a good talker as well as a good wrestler is Silas Young. Have you had much ring time with him yet?
Silas Young.
The last real man.
Oh, I like that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
I haven't been able to talk to him much. I like his character. I believe it's more. It kind of reminds me of a Magnum TA.
Yes,
I enjoy him. Yeah, I'm a fan of his. I told him that already. He thought it was a big compliment. I have nothing bad to say about it. I enjoy his ring work. I enjoy his mic work. I enjoy his character. I believe he's also a character that will be able to be a lot bigger this year.
All right. Well, I know you're at work and you probably need to wrap things up. But aside from
I'm actually good right now. I got one of my boss ladies riding with me, and she's actually allowing me to talk. She's not paying me any attention. She's playing on the phone.
What is your job outside of Ring of Honor, of course?
I'm a contractor. I pick up different jobs to do different things, whether it be I'm also a personal trainer. But one of the contracted jobs is where I just transport people to different places or whatever. So it's kind of whatever I can do between times. It's jobs that I can do to where when I have to go somewhere on the road, I don't have to act like my mom died or my grandma died to get a day off work.
Now, I do have a question for Mr. Coleman.
Okay,
you
got Jeter on the line.
Who am I talking to?
This is Jeter.
Okay.
we've met at Anarchy previously. What advice would you give to a young guy that's been wrestling about 4 years, just trying to make his bones and move to a different level?
Get out. One of the main problems. Not get out of business, but I mean like get out.
Oh, okay.
Yourself.
Okay.
One of the main problems. No, I'm not gonna be like that, man. No.
Just give up now, Jeter.
No, not at all. Not at all. Good guy. But I would say though. The problem that I ran into with Anarchy is that I was more loyal to it than it was to me. Hear me out when I say that. I have nothing bad to say about Anarchy. I have nothing bad to say about anybody that building that building made me, I would say, 75% of who I am today. However, there had came a point in time to where I could have moved out, and I didn't because I was loyal to them and they wouldn't tell me, hey, go do this, go do that. I was kind of waiting on them. I believed in them so much that I thought, hey, one day Anarchy is going to be the next WCW. You know, Anarchy is going to shoot me up to this level. But if I would have had those cards to play all over again instead of staying at Anarchy as long as I did, I probably would have stayed there, but I would have made some waves myself other places. I would have put in some video places, some videotapes other places. I would have made myself known in other places. Instead of waiting for Anarchy to do it for me, I would have did it for myself. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly what
you're saying. You can't make that market try to exploit you because they're going to try to build their stuff up around you. You know, but you have to make yourself a name other places as well, because if you get stuck in that one place and you go somewhere else, you're going to have to get used to that work again. But as long as you're spreading yourself out to other places that are valuable places, not just anywhere that it's a wrestling show, because you can go to some places where you might as well wrestle a broomstick, but a place where it's a valuable wrestling show and you're willing to start from the bottom and work your way up to the top, that's going to make you better on so many levels that when it'll make you versatile in the ring and also make you a better athlete to be able to find out stuff about yourself that maybe you never knew, because the Anarchy locker room is a one-type wrestling locker room. You're going to learn a lot there, but all the guys, they know each other, so they have the same style match. You know what I mean? They have to go to other places where other styles are used so you can adapt to. That'll make you more versatile. It'll help you grow, and it makes you more confident in yourself to be able to go other places. That way, if you go somewhere like WCW, TNA, Ring of Honor, or whatever, you don't have the shaking in your boots because you already know that you're an athlete and you already know that you can adjust to other people.
Okay. All right.
So, Caprice,
getting out
you,
there, man, taking your craft seriously, you know? You're looking like a star. So much I can go on that. I don't mind. I'm telling you, man.
So, after this January 4th show, Ring of Honor doesn't have anything scheduled until later in January. Do you still wrestle for other independent promotions much? Do you have any other matches coming up?
I do. I kind of I don't know off the top of my head where they're at. I'm not one of those guys, hey, check me out in so and so, check me out in this, check me out in this, or whatever. But I do keep a schedule. I kind of post it on my Facebook page, Caprice Coleman. I post it on my Twitter, at Caprice Coleman page, and all to keep up with the places that I'll be wrestling at. I kind of pick and choose now. I'm not getting any younger, so I know that my days are not necessarily numbered, but I have to be wise with the choices, so I just don't go anywhere and wrestle, because if I get hurt in front of 30 people and nobody saw it and I can't pay my bills, you know, there's somebody else that's going to be ready and willing to jump in my place and take over. You know what I mean? So you have to be wise with decisions when you get to a certain place in wrestling, because you get hurt and you're paying your bills with this sport, and then somebody else is there to replace you. You know, you don't have a job when you get back. So I'm more wise on the bookings that I'm taking out, if that makes any sense.
Of course. All right. Well, we do have another guest lined up, and he's on the line. But if Jeter or Josh have anything else for Caprice, go ahead.
I am good. Thanks, sir.
All right. Jeter?
I am good. I just look forward to one day being able to share a ring with this man and learn from him in ring.
Looking forward to it, brother. You book it, I'll be there.
All right. Well, we appreciate
what you can do about that.
Well, Jeter is still active in Anarchy. He was former Anarchy champion. Were you the champion when Caprice was there a few months ago?
Yes, I was, actually.
Jeter, now who am I? I'm not trying to be funny. God knows I'm not. I'm blaming it to my head, not my heart, or whatever. But, Jeter, explain me a little bit about who you are so I can put a picture with the face. A face with the picture with your voice. Because I know one big guy there that kind of that's with Jeff G. Bailey, big black guy. I think his name's seven or 8 or 9 or 10 or something like that.
That's seven.
That's okay. Seven. I'm the largest dude walking around in Anarchy's locker room, literally.
Did I say 6'7" to you?
Yeah, we spoke briefly.
Okay.
I was trying not to crowd the space. I know you had something going on. I was trying to get myself prepared for mine. Nothing too in detail.
Are you managed by Jeff G. Bailey there?
No, I was. I was with Jeff G. Then they put me with Nemesis and Shadow Jackson as a part of Unforgivable Blackness.
Okay, Nemesis. I definitely know those. I remember those guys well, man. Those good guys, man. Good guys. Okay, well, I mean, I definitely look forward to it, man. I can work. I mean, if you're there, man, if Bill sets it up, I'd definitely be there or whatever like that. I look forward to anybody that wants to work, you know, on the confidence level or whatever like that, man. And even you doing stuff like this is showing that you're trying to get your name out there, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So just keep doing what you're doing, man. I encourage anybody. I'm never going to tell anybody to drop out or whatever like that because people told me to quit a long time ago. They told me I was too small for the sport. I took it with a grain of salt. I put on weight, and I continue to improve. You know what I mean? If you want to do it, do it. You have a dream for a reason. You know, you continue to follow your dream. Everybody's not going to see your dream. It's your dream. You know what I mean? Be honest with yourself. You know what I'm saying? And, like, if you feel like, you know, you need to improve, then improve. You know, don't lie to yourself or whatever, or give yourself false hope. You know, this is a business, you know, and the bottom line with business is money. If people feel like they can make money out of you, off of you, they can book you. You know what I'm saying? So make yourself a priority. Make yourself make yourself to a point to where people want to book you to make money off of you. You know?
Yeah, most definitely.
So, that's it, man. I mean, I have to be seeing you face to face, man. I apologize. I got a lot of things going on. I'm trying to multitask right now. But,
I understand.
Yeah. So definitely keep it going, man. That's it.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling in, Caprice. And I think I'm actually going to make the trip up to the Ring of Honor show on the 4th, so perhaps I'll see you there.
All right. If you come, let me know who you are. You know what I'm saying? And I'll try to make my way out to you. We chat for a little bit or something.
All right. Sounds good.
How far is your drive to the show, man? How far is that?
I think it's about 4 hours. I live in Atlanta, but I'm going to be riding with my friend Matt Sexcells, who you may have met. He's done a couple of Ring of Honor training camps, and he almost had a dark match at the Baltimore pay-per-view. I think it was Best in the World,
mm-hmm.
But the ring was all wobbly, so they were working on the ring all the way up until the show started, so his dark match got cut. But
okay, that happens sometimes. You know,
yeah.
I was going to say this too, man. Jesus, who asked the question, I want to say this, man. There's a lot of guys that say, hey, how can I get this and how can I get there and how can I do this and all. And in some ways, it's kind of an insult when you work real hard to get somewhere and somebody else is like, hey, how can I get there? You know, but I can say this. Ring of Honor has these camps that they actually look at guys. A lot of the guys that are on the roster now, the new guys, they came from the camp. So if you're really wanting to get yourself out there and you're really wanting to be a star and you're really wanting to see what does it take to get to the next level or whatever like that. And you see opportunities like that, not just Ring of Honor, but when you see opportunities like where you see a star that's teaching somewhere having a seminar or something like that, go to it, because even if that star is not going to get you, don't go to it and say, hey, you know, this star is going to get me signed at WWE, or this star is going to get me signed at TNA. Go in there looking for nuggets, man. Looking for little things that you can do that would help you improve your skill. You know, if you go in there with open mind there, even when I got back in country, man, I was still going to seminars, Harley Race and Ricky Steamboat and all the seminars, because I knew that, you know, if I was perfect, I would be signed already. You know what I mean? There's always something to learn. So as long as you keep that mindset that you're open to learn and take things with a grain of salt and ready to expand your mind to become better in the sport, you'll be just fine.
All right. Most definitely.
All right. Well, hopefully some other local wrestlers or indie wrestlers are listening to that advice, because it sounds like it's very good advice from someone who, obviously, you work for TNA and WWE and Ring of Honor and many other places, so you know what you're talking about. All right, well, we'll let you go, but thanks for calling in, and like I said, maybe I'll see you next weekend.
All right, you take it easy, brother.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
And like I said before, we got a lot of people lined up tonight, so we've got Shinron the Spirit Dragon now joining us, I believe.
Yo!
Is this Shinron?
This is Shinron. What's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up?
Doing all right. How are you tonight?
All right. How are you tonight? I'm doing excellent. I'm on my way to Georgia, about North Carolina, with my boy A.R. Fox. What's up, man? Yo.
So we got both of you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know, Shinron, I believe your last match in Georgia may have been the MCW one.
You don't
have
no sound effects, man, with no horns, no entrance, no intro.
What's that?
We don't get no intro, man. No intro music? No, nothing like that?
Oh, I didn't get any music tonight. Sorry.
Well, at least the pyro, right?
Yeah, there's pyro, of course. It's New Year's Eve tomorrow. There's pyro everywhere.
Pyro. All right, that's good enough.
So anyway, it's been a while since either of you has wrestled in Georgia, but you both will be back for this WWA 4 show on the 2nd, right?
Most definitely. It's a reunion show. It's got you're going to see some old faces. You're going to see a lot of new faces. You're going to see a lot of stuff you've never seen before. You're going to see a lot of the old. You're going to see a lot of the new. You're going to see the Spirit Dragon, Shinron. You're going to see a lot at WWA 4 in the 2nd.
AR Fox, I believe, is taking on Moose. Is that right?
Yeah, man, I think so. I got to talk to the Booker still, see what's up. He switches up. But, yeah, I think I'll work with Moose, man.
Well, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Dieter. That's obviously a difference in styles there. Moose is a big powerhouse, and you're a smaller high flyer. But you've faced bigger guys before, so what's your strategy going into matches like that?
I'm actually excited, man. I think my favorite match to have is against a bigger guy, like a power wrestler. Like I worked with Elgin and Steve before. And, like, I like working with, like, not even the fucking drop names, but those are just the fucking first big wrestlers I can think of that I've worked with, like, lately. And, like, I like working with big guys, so I'm pumped for it. You could, like, do the cool stuff, but you could also, like, tell a story, of course, with the, you know, me trying to use the speed, like, you know, that old story, but, yeah, I still like that story.
Josh,
speaking of wrestling, like bigger guys, you guys wrestle a completely different style. I mean, AR Fox is considered one of the most innovative wrestlers in America, and Shinron does some crazy stuff that nobody else does. How would you guys fare against Stan Hansen or Bruiser Brody or some of the guys in like the 70s and 80s? Was your guys' style today?
I think it'll definitely be when. Anytime you combine two opposing styles like that, especially on the magnitudes of like you said, the comparisons you just made, you're going to get something special. I don't think it's always the case of
you know, we can say how it's going to be, you know, all we want, but until we actually get those two in the ring and see what magic we can make, we never really know. That's my take.
Would you kick out of Larry from Stan Hansen?
I'd do my best. I believe I can. I believe I can kick out.
I don't know if he led you, but I like the answer. I like the answer, but knowing the answer, I don't think he led you.
Is anybody else hearing the echo?
I think somebody's listening to it.
Yeah, it might be the phone. It might be the connection. You know, we're in the car. We're doing the long haul traveling trip. You know.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. They probably got it on the speakerphone. It's probably a delay.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Shinron.
Yeah, blame it on Nog Filler.
I saw you at the Chikara show back in May, I believe, and then at the Monster Bash at Starlight Drive-In. Have you done? Have you wrestled many other matches in Georgia, or have most of your matches been outside of Georgia?
Most of them have, actually, all of them since June have been outside of Georgia. I've been doing a lot of traveling, especially in the Northeast. I've been working with Beyond Wrestling. Wrestling is fun. Wrestling is cool. Wrestling is art. Interspecies wrestling, things up there. And I've also worked with NWA Smoky Mountain in Tennessee. So now, 2014, I've got a lot of cool things lined up. And I'm really excited to make this pit stop before the end of the year is out back in my hometown of Atlanta and, you know, entertain for the fans of WWE 4 one more time.
So when you guys were going to WWE 4, you guys didn't do a lot of wrestling in the Georgia scene. Is there a reason for that?
I think it's a little bit different down there. Like, I don't know. I think when I was first starting out, maybe not first starting wrestling, but when I first started actually really having a lot of matches, when I first got on CCW, I feel like a lot of places that I wrestled, maybe not just in Georgia, but down south, like in Georgia and in Alabama, like, didn't really care much at all for my, like, indie style of wrestling, like, doing too much or doing, like, a lot of stuff if I was, like, even if I was late on the card. So, I don't know. It was kind of weird for me to wrestle in Georgia. A lot of times when I work places, it was like only like once or something besides for the WWE 4. But, yeah.
So you feel, because you guys like to do a lot of stuff in your matches. Do you think that style doesn't really fit in the South, maybe?
Yeah, I feel like those fans, like, sort of like almost like WWE fans sort of are like Georgia fans are close to, like, to me, like, because, like, they got guys that they've seen for a while and they sort of like have like an attachment to them, so like no matter what, like, flashy stuff I do, like, they just love this guy, you know, that's like, yeah, like that's just there, you know, like, I enjoyed it, so like I don't see nothing wrong with it. Like, I like all styles of wrestling, all different aspects of wrestling. Like, all wrestling's different, from American to Mexican to, like, Japanese or whatever. So, like, even wrestling from in the South is different from wrestling up North, you know. And I like them both, but for my style and what I was trying to do, they fit way better in the North.
AR, you've obviously seen success in Combat Zone Wrestling. I believe you're still the Evolved champion, and you hold a title in the Chile Lucha Libre. Where all else are you wrestling in the next few weeks, at least?
There's an Evolved Triple Shot coming up in Florida. That's on January 10, 11, and 12. And then I got I wrestle AJ Styles in Pennsylvania, but that's not till March 15th for UWE. And I wrestle for PWG. It's going to be my first time being at DDT4, which is their tag two-night tag tournament. It's pretty cool, and they teamed me up with ACH, and that's January 31st and February 1st in California. And pretty much, and then February 8th, I got CZW in Jersey. That's pretty much our main things. Pretty much the only companies I really wrestle for now, because they take up most of my weekends, is Dragon Gate, which they don't take up a lot, but Evolve, which they don't take up a lot. But CZW's at once every month.
So how crazy is working a PWG show? Because you see the highlight videos, you see the DVDs. You guys do some crazy stuff. So how is that to watch the first match and then to be the third match? How do you make that work for you without giving away too much too many times?
It's crazy. I jokingly say it to myself like all the time, like, I don't even know how, like, what we're going to do next. Like my last time I was there was me and Swan versus Eddie and Roddy, Joe Bros. And it was Eddie's last match because he won't somewhere. You know, he signed something upstairs with Davey. And so he wanted to go all, you know, do a lot of stuff, you know, and I'm willing to do none of them, and I'm one that's definitely willing to do a lot of stuff, so we went crazy, and I'm just thinking about, you know, then after the show's done, we're talking about return dates, and I'm just thinking, like, all right, so now my next return date's me and ACH versus Swan and Ricochet, and I'm just wondering, like, what are we going to do next? Like, it's insane. Like, my first time there, I remember watching the first match and just, like, trying almost not to, like, oversell it or not to the boys, like, because, like, I'd seen the highlight videos and I'd seen a few of their DVDs, but when I seen the first match, it was just insane. Like, it was just so many people just trying to, like, really, really, it's, like, really competitive there, like, almost. Like, everyone legit, like, tries to steal the show there. Like, and I remember seeing my first match there, and I was just like, what is going on, you know? But it's just how they do there. They do a lot of just stuff. I like watching them. It's fun to watch.
I've always equated Pro Wrestling Guerrilla as like the X Games of pro wrestling. Like, there's no rhyme or reason, just give them a perfect 10 if they see a cool move. So now my question is for you about Beyond Your Wrestling. I'm a critic of it. I don't get it. Danny always explains it a little bit. So how do you guys feel about the growth of Beyond Wrestling, since you guys both have been there since the beginning, really?
Let me take this one. I think Beyond Wrestling is one of the greatest, coolest concepts in wrestling in the past, recent memory, at least for me. I'm actually a fan of Beyond Wrestling as much as I work for it. I think any vehicle that you can use to grow something you believe in is a good thing. And Beyond Wrestling is really interactive, and they really do things. They really innovate and do things to try to grow not only their wrestling brand but the wrestlers involved. You know, you see a lot of wrestlers, you know, get involved with Beyond Wrestling and then end up with a lot of. A lot of other growth in their careers just because of their work with them is what I think.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the reason I'm such a critic of it is because you don't really sell tickets. I mean, I know they're doing live shows now, but for a while there, it was just all, like, working for the boys. And to me, that's like, what the fuck are you doing? So that's where my critique comes from. But I get what you're saying, and I think what they've done is unbelievable, and it's a testament to Drew Cordero, who runs it, and how much he's put into it. But now my next question is Chikara. What's going on with Chikara? I know you guys both worked there, you know, briefly. So is it officially done? Is it still maybe going to come back in 2014? What do you guys know about the inner workings of Chikara?
Whoa, let's go back to Beyond real quick.
Just to defend the company, because I really like it, and I really have a lot of respect for Beyond Wrestling. I think it's cool, and I think it's all about why we all are into wrestling, because we like it and we think it's fun. Like, I think Beyond is a really, like, like anything, it's just a fun, great time for everyone that's involved with taping. But you were saying like you don't understand like why we're working for the boys, but a lot of times,
I don't get that. I would never see Michael Hayes work for the boys. I think Michael Hayes works in the ticket sales. That's an old school mentality.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah, I understand that, but like that's beyond wrestling. Like I got a whole bunch of matches online. Like I probably legit got over 100 matches online. I probably got close to maybe 200 matches online. My most
right.
like watch match online is from Beyond Wrestling. Like that's so it's like it's really really good exposure. And I heard
okay.
it's like ranked like maybe number 2 or 3 on YouTube.
Number 1
for like the most watched wrestling like on YouTube, like even with WWE like PWG and all that like combined, like so it's really good for guys who like really aren't getting a break or aren't getting a shot or aren't friends with somebody who's already working somewhere.
Right,
it's a really
right.
good it's a good place for people. You know what I mean?
So like, would you guys say that Beyond Wrestling is the new way to do TV wrestling?
I think it's the best way for a new guy to get exposure. Like
okay,
I don't know if it's
okay.
necessarily TV, but It's definitely good. Like every new guy I see, I say they should make the trip, even if it costs everything costs them, and they got to take a long ass to do it for free and work in front of nobody. I would definitely recommend them to do it because it's great exposure. I don't know.
Right.
And for me, Beyond Wrestling was one of the first places that gave me a large. Grand scale stage to show what I can do, and just that shot, that opportunity, just to show that hey, you know, a lot of people are watching, and here's what I can do, here's what I've been working on, here's what I've been training for, you know, boom, 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 and then you show it off, and if you do it well, you know, if you're good at what you do, then you're gonna shine, and that's gonna definitely open up some doors for you as long as you keep up the you know the hard work and everything like that. That's like one of the great things about Beyond. The power of connection to networking, and just through that infrastructure that Drew and you know all the boys have built, you know all that time where he was like yeah before they started doing all these live shows like they're doing a lot more recently, especially in 2014.
We got a sensitive spot for Beyond, bro.
Definitely. You know, so.
I mean, I've watched a ton of this stuff. I mean, you know, as soon as Sugar Gunner like showed up on it, I started watching it, and I was just like, "What the fuck is this?" Like, I was asking myself, "What is this?" But now that I hear you guys and I've heard Danny Only and I've heard Sugar explain it to me, this is the new way to do television. You know, 10 years ago, people would drive to NWA Wildside for a hot dog and a coke to be on 45 TV stages at 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, now, and I get that. Now you don't have to do that. You can drive to Rhode Island and do it, or where they do their shows. So that makes perfect sense now from a business standpoint. So now my question is this: could you see more companies try this style to do more with wrestling?
I think with the new age of the internet and everything, I think everyone is kind of.
Nah, I think people are too fucking money. I might be sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think the people are. A lot of people want the money, man. They want money, so I don't think they're gonna do like Beyond because I don't think they want to give their product for free.
No, I completely understand you. You're saying that because, you know, when I first started doing wrestling, you know, we gave away our TV show on the internet before there was really a YouTube, and people thought I was fucking crazy. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, Bill Barron really, really was mad at me for about a year because he couldn't believe I was giving away fucking free TV. But I get it, and I love that you guys are explaining it to me and explaining it to the audience so they get it because social media wise and promoting wise, they have done a tremendous job, and I applaud them for that.
Definitely.
When I watch his older shows, I'm like, "Are you guys wrestling in front of a wrestler?" So that's where like the old school mentality comes in, and like, "What is this?" So thank you for explaining it to me in a more broader approach.
No problem. At the end of the day, you just got to remember, it's not that complicated. We all love wrestling. You know, Beyond
right.
Wrestling puts on a lot of good, free, great wrestling, so we should just focus on that. yay, wrestling. Why do they have to get so complicated with it sometimes, you know?
Well, yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Exactly what I preach. Why get so complicated with it? Now, since AR works for Evolve, he knows the inner people in the office, could you see them maybe giving away more free matches here or there to pump up their iPay-per-views or DVD sales?
I honestly think they really, really, really should, but I don't think they're going to. I don't know. I just don't see it.
I'll
happening.
Be the first one in. I mean, I come to the shows in here in Tampa, and the product's good stuff. I mean, there's some things I'm like, oh my god, what the fuck are you doing? But the product's good. Why not give away a free match here or there and get more interest? But that's just my opinion. So.
Yeah, I know, man. I think they should.
I want to know about Chikara.
That's Chikara.
Do you guys know anything about that? What's going on with Chikara?
I don't know, man. You know, I was really excited to debut for them and everything. I had a great time working, with Chikara when they came to Georgia and everything like that. And then Kapoosh, and they're gone. But I will tell you this. I'm having a great time working with Wrestling Is. But, lately they've been shutting down left and right. So, Chikara, I have no idea. I don't know if anyone really does. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. Maybe it's gone. But right now, Chikara's not really in the picture.
Wow.
How many matches did you get to wrestle there, Shinran?
Just one against Chuck Taylor. Just one. And it was a great match. And I really had a good time working him. And in a lot of ways, it was a great learning experience for me. I was really bummed to hear, that it was gone under at the time. But who knows what's going to happen in the future.
All right. Well, you guys, have any other shows in Georgia anytime soon? I'm guessing not.
Oh, I want some, though.
No, I don't have any in Georgia. Yeah, I'd love to come down here again and work. Just got to, have that right opportunity.
Right. Well, Josh, do you have anything else for these guys?
I know the last Evolve Triple Shot AR Fox City Drunk Fox is new for every match. So what should I expect January 10th, Ybor City, at the Orpheum from AR Fox?
I don't know if that gimmick's still going on with every match, man.
Yeah, because I'm hearing a rumor that you're facing Davey Richards.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't even know who I'm facing. But half the time I don't. But, I think on the first night I'm going to wrestle maybe Roddy or Nation.
Okay.
And then I think, I still got a few moves. Could you explain your name to me?
Like, what exactly is the Shinran Dragon thing? What is that?
Shinran means spirit dragon. That's what it means in Japanese. Gotcha. Spirit dragon is the best way I could describe it is spirit is who we are on the inside. You got to be yourself. I'm just being myself. In the ring and expressing my art and through that way. The way I wrestle is in the form of a dragon, very powerful, very fast, very cunning, very very artistic, and very, a sight to see, and that's what I bring to the ring.
Sounds good.
Yep. Keep it simple.
Cool.
All right, well, is there anything else? Anything else on the agenda?
No, I think that's it. So I guess we could, if you're in Georgia, check out the WWA 4 reunion show on the 2nd. That is a Thursday. I believe WWA 4 is taking a few weeks off, so I think this is their return. And a lot of people are going to be there. I'm guessing Nation, UHA Nation will be there too. I mean, the poster has about 50 people on it.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show, so definitely make it out. Admission's free, support WWE4.
WWE4.com, got it, all the gadgets and all that.
Right, and it is a free show, so that's if for no other reason,
you
should check it out because it's free.
Check it out because it's free.
Well, I appreciate you guys calling in while you're traveling, and I hope you travel safely, and we'll see you next Thursday.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much, guys. Don't forget, subscribe, youtube.com/beyondwrestling. Later.
All right. Well, we lost Jeter and Johnny Danger, so it's an interesting show. I'm not sure what happened to Jimmy the Kid, but I guess we'll just try to get him back on a future show.
Good deal.
But he will be at UIW in the main event, as I mentioned earlier, with Bull Buchanan against the SoFine Mafia. Also, next week's show will be dedicated completely to announcing the winners of the Georgia Wrestling Awards. And the fan poll is still going for a few more days. So if you go to gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, over on the left side, you can vote for many different categories. I guess we'll announce the winners of the insiders' picks as well as the fan poll next week. And then let me see what else is coming up this weekend.
There are no shows.
No, there are actually a few. Alternative Pro Wrestling is in Royston on Friday, which is every Friday. What else? Oh, American Wrestling Federation, AWF World of Wild, and Ringgold, which is the one with Paul Lee. They're doing a DVD taping on Saturday for recording.
Oh, a DVD taping. Look at that.
Diamond
schedule. They're doing a DVD taping.
Yeah. That's on Saturday in Ringgold. Diamond Pro Wrestling is in Dublin, Georgia on Saturday. Empire
is
running again.
Diamond Pro Wrestling. Is that the Jake Slater in Albany?
Yeah.
Is that what that promotion is? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Diamond Pro. I thought it was something else.
Well, there's All Star Wrestling Network as well. I think they're kind of in the same area. I'm not sure, but
yeah
Diamond Pro is in Dublin, which is sort of near Savannah. Empire's running on Saturday up in Rossville.
PCW. You know how their Christmas show went, by the way? Like, did you get a report on the Christmas show?
I didn't.
I didn't either. I didn't hear anything about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we should find out. Maybe we can get someone from Empire to call in a couple weeks so we can get caught up on that. PCW's in Porterdale on Saturday. UIW is in at the West Georgia Auto Auction on Saturday. And that is about it. So there are a few.
And you'll be in Ring of Honor.
I think so, yeah. So if I go, of course, I'll talk about it next Monday as much as I can. But, of course, we'll probably have Larry Goodman on, and we'll have as many of the award winners as we can get to call in without giving it away too far in advance.
Right.
Then the week after that, I don't remember who we got after that, but got a lot of stuff coming up. Some fairly big names are going to be calling in again, so we will let you know about that next week, but I guess that's it. So we'll be back next week at 7. You got anything else, Josh?
Happy New Year!
Oh, yeah. Have a Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you next year.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. Production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.